remember how they'd be all the cousins, like Ian Wilson's auntie's mother, often came over to us. And his two uncles, John and Alec, both used to come.
And they were what name again?
Muirson.
Muirson?
Yeah.
Where would they have come from?
Well, the father, Alec Muirson, was in around near Castle Comer. And then he died.
Yeah.
And their mother remarried when she was lived up more 13 way. And what was her name then? Well, I'll think of it again. But anyway, we always had a gang in the house, you know. And well, sure, the same time they'd all come out to help play and play games when we could and so on.
Had you much contact with the Miller side of the family at all?
No. One of the Millers, Mrs. Baird, married to Baird. And that'd be Nora Baird's
part. Right.
That now would have known Nora.
Oh, yeah, all we all knew Auntie Nora.
Well, she was one of them. And then there was the. Another sister. The youngest was Helene. She's out in Australia. She writes to me once in a blue moon.
Ruth and Clifford are going out in the summer and they've written to her and she's written back to her.
Really? Mm. That's lovely.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. And then there was Genevieve. She was married in Toronto.
They're all you're saying from the Miller side.
Yeah. They'll be all from the Miller side. My mother's sister's children.
Right. Yeah.
Genevieve and Helene, she was the youngest. Sorry. I remember she and her older sister Nora were down at the Brow one time. And Nora, of course, was very, very musical.
Mm-hmm.
And she was teaching Helen. She was teaching other people music. So she was starting on her youngest sister.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember she told her, now go and practice. We went down to the parlor in the Brown, played the piano. And Nora went outside to get some fresh air. And she tapped the window. No, it's C natural, whatever it is, the note she played wrong. She could hear it that way outside. We had to tell her which one she played wrong. She was really a genius.
Mm.
Genius.
Mm. And leaving that side, Mum, you're saying, was 4 years younger than you.
Yeah.
So you would have been away in Dublin
mm.
by the time she was going to secondary school.
Mm.
And she went where?
Down to Wexford.
And how did that come about?
Well, did she go there whenever she was 12?
No, I think she was a bit older than 12.
See, they would probably have stayed on till 13 or 14 in that.
No, they would.
Right.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't have started that jump.
No. Yeah. We're six anyway.
Yeah.
And, well, I think I may be wrong, maybe ask your dad, but I think she won a prize for butter making at some competition or something.
Well, was that not when she was down there?
Only a bit.
Was when she was down there.
Yeah, I think that's when she was actually down in Ramsbank.
Yeah, you're right, yeah. So,
but it's just to know how it came about that she went down to Ramsbank.
I don't really know that now. I just heard she was gone and that was it.
And do you know how long she was down there?
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, she would be two years, I'd say.
I think it's 2 years.
And what did she do when she finished in Rams Grange? Like, she got married at, what was she, 19?
Mm.
So there's a spell in between.
What age was she when she left Rams Grange?
I don't know, if you're saying she was 2 years and supposing she was
14
leaving, yeah, when she went, that'd be 16. So she was 2 to 3 years. What's she doing that time?
Yeah.
You probably would have been married at that stage, Auntie Annie, would you?
Yeah.
You could write a history book about them all.
But this is what I'm saying. You could easily write a book.
Oh.
Should look at Dad after writing a book.
No, but your dad's great. Great. Brains.
They say there's a book on everyone. So you could write a book on her and the family.
Oh. Especially this one here.
Nice.
Tough lot. Did you ever hear about, you know, we have an apple tree in the garden, small red apples, they're lovely and sweet. And the boys could go down any time and pick them and eat them. And yet, we were away at school this day and I was down in the, you know, what's now his
bingo
office was their bedroom. David and Albert both. David and Albert both slept down there. And when I went to make Albert, he was gone to school. When I went to make his bed, what do you think I found? 24 apple cores under his pillow. All gone brown.
Oh.
And you should have seen the pillowcase.
Oh. And I said, what were you doing? What did you do? All those apples, what did you want that many for?
And then the truth came out. They had got out through the window, that would be the window down to the right of the hall, back hall there, in the night, in the middle of the night, and went down and picked the apples and brought them up and ate them. And they could go down any time of the day and get them. But the thrill of stealing out, getting out from them, right under our bedroom, but we never heard a sound. Out in the dark,
in apples.
What did you rise? All those cores under his pillow. And he forgot in the morning, you see, and left him there.
He threw him up in the wardrobe.
I suppose he might have.
He did.
Having all the time, probably. I could have thrown him up on top of the wardrobe when I saw the state of the place. He's the maddest thing. And another time he decided he was going to build a house up in a tree. I think there's the remains of the thing up in the tree still, isn't there?
No. Tree's gone.
Oh, the tree's gone. Oh, we'll have to go to wipe out that episode. Building a tree house.
Was that the one Samuel fell out of the tree and broke his leg?
Probably.
No,
that was good. Is that not another place?
The one down at the foot. Lower pheasant one there.
Is that
the
tree?
Yeah.
What, do you?
I do.
Do
what
you?
Happened?
Why?
It's time when he stepped on a branch. We're all climbing trees.
Yeah.
He stepped on a branch and the branch gave way and he to the ground.
Oh.
And did we give him down before or what?
We did.
Another time we'd take David in. Broken leg.
I was in school, you take him in.
Mm. Playing rugby.
Goodness, he broke his leg playing rugby.
He set properly, walks, he put out of it now.
Goodness.
So mind yourself, Master Philip.
He doesn't play it.
I won't be playing rugby, he'll have to mind himself.
Yes.
Playing footsie wootsie.
Could you have a, do you have a choice? They had to play in those days.
Oh, we had to play for the first year. After that, we didn't have to.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I think Philip went out once.
No.
Maybe twice.
Yeah. I like it.
No.
And yet, girls aren't allowed to.
They're rugby.
They are.
Well, no, no, well, international
rugby team.
Yeah, but I mean, like, in Kenny College, there isn't a girls rugby team.
Indeed, it's rugby in Portugal.
Yeah, I know, but there isn't a rugby team that goes, like, boys play rugby because they can't get...
You can't get other schools to...
Yeah,
no. Oh, girls play rugby.
Insurance is ridiculous.
When you see yourself in a scrum...
Belched to death.
just all the lads. By the time you're playing rugby with the lads all know so much about rugby that you're left, never passed you the ball, and you're just sort of standing there doing nothing all the time. Same as soccer.
There was a girl from Wexford in our school in Dublin, Flo Bates, who's from Lowry. And she was very good at every subject except learning, of course. She could go over and over and over into lines, and she'd still get it. And I couldn't understand how to say if you're musical, you know, and she was very musical and had a very good singing box. And one time I was sick in bed with chicken pox or something in bed, top dorm or somewhere. And they were learning the poem like in the class while I was away. And when I came back, I think it was 5 or 6 verses I'd been there to catch up. And here I heard Flo, and she's trying to say her one. And when she heard me starting at the beginning and going down to where she was now after me being a bit a week, she couldn't get over. And I thought nothing of it because it was a really easy one. Ode to thee, blithe spirit, bird thou never wert, which from heaven or near it for thy full heart and profuse drained the unpremeditated heart. I am still an iron to the earth, from the earth that springeth.
Ode to the skylark?
Yeah.
Shelley, is it?
Like a cloud on fire, the blue deep thou wingest, and singing still doth soar, and soaring ever singest. She couldn't get the first verse right. Anyway, she wasn't stupid.
Mm-hmm.
She was good as every other subject. Isn't that strange?
Mm-hmm. Well, did you do a fairly wide range of subjects then in that school in Dublin?
Well, we did, as the usual, French, Irish, and geography, history. Some did science, I didn't. You had a choice, like, in subjects.
Well, Auntie Annie, after having been in Dublin, and then after having lived in the town for so many years, and then you married Uncle Sam, did you find it hard to come back to the farm?
No.
You didn't?
That was a strange thing, you didn't. It was very, very wild out here, you know, there was not the sheds and things they have now.
Really?
No. If people who owned it came back now, they wouldn't recognise either the house or the farmyard.
Right. And when you came into the house, did you have a lot to do with it before you could even live in it, or
yeah.
What was it?
Yeah. We couldn't do a lot at the beginning, like after buying it. But gradually, bit.
Yeah.
It was very badly kept.
Yeah.
Mrs. Miller. Dawson Miller.
That's who owned the house?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So were you involved in milking cows and hens and into the whole lot?
Into the whole lot.
And did you have many cows to begin with?
Smash more.
To give how many to begin with, we had up to 7 or 8.
Right. Yeah. Did you ever make cheese?
No.
No, you never made cheese.
No, made butter.
Yeah.
I remember when Mommy had to go up, I think it was sort of someone, her family died in the North, she had to go to the funeral anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I was left in charge. And a Mrs. Kelly over the lane, she was to come help me. See?
Mm-hmm.
And I had the churning done, you know, not just the way we did with this wind, the waterfall thing. But she was trying to, you know, salt the butter and then pieces into the shapes that it found, just, you know.
She happened to have to
do. You think it was a cicada tumor. So I said, Mrs. Kelly, let's see what I do that. So I got the two things and I just slipped the thing together and shaped and put the mark on it, and that was this, and, you know.
Mm.
And she like this, I said, I knew that, you know. It was so easy.
I'm done with it. I'm not telling anything, I'm just looking at something. Trying to see something.
Oh, I see.
No, I'm not saying anything, I'm just trying to see whether I'm... Audrey, don't put your hand in there on the thing. There's things behind the curtain and you don't know what's there.
If you broke my window, your Uncle Douglas would be happy.
He broke the window.
Well, when you...
Is that enough of the glass?
When you made... When you made the butter pats, or whatever you called them,
Pounds, okay.
Did you wrap them in paper?
Yes.
Right, did you have special printed butter paper, or just ordinary?
Just butter paper.
Yeah. Right.
That's what you were selling.
Don't mind me.
How would you keep that cold on a hot summer's day when you would be going down? Would you go to the market?
No, I'd be getting away with this building. But the dairy was always cool because of the waterfall just outside the wall, you see.
So might people have come to the house to buy it?
I don't remember, but probably. Probably Kelly's a different one.
Yeah.
Of course, a lot of people around would have been making their own butter.
Right.
But still, if you made that amount of butter, you must have sold it somewhere.
I remember now, it was up in Copley's shop.
All right.
I remember taking up some.
And presumably they would have had a cold larder or something to keep it in.
To be outdoor?
No, they had an underground kitchen, or an underground... A place that was very cold down there.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Only one little window, there was no way the sun could get in there. And that's why they would have kept it, I'm sure.
Yeah. And would you have kept pigs at home?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I remember John and I had to stay up one night at the cellar having bombs. I was very glad of his company.
Aye.
Scared the old thing. Don't be old slow. There was one cow called Darcy. And I liked her. She was a lovely, quiet cow. She'd never kick or anything, you know. But another one, what do you call her? Hawthorn or something. When she'd kick, she, whatever way, she'd give the leg right up and bring the bucket down with her when she'd go. So I used to avoid her like the plague. But anyway, sometimes gets kind of, it's like eczema, only worse on the teeth.
I hope that you would keep it there long enough.
So orange. So I was quick with the hand across this way to keep her from putting it in the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you get many a fright.
Mm-hmm.
And Annie, what can you tell me about Dad's visits up to Coolcullen?
Dad's visits?
How did it start?
A prayer meeting. Come down to Phillips's. Up there. That's where I think you met.
Was that the first time they met us, apparently?
Well, they may have met before that, but I mean, that's when they got friendly, as far as I know. You should ask him that question. Don't expect me to keep an eye on him.
Oh, but there's always a different perspective on a thing, you know, a different way of people looking at the thing. And
how should we all make this square for the woman of Kigeni? Boys, and if we get one right, I have to put him in that trap. In the wild rose, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Where? And I was getting a lift down to Kigeni from Kulkala with them. And I got in and sat in on the seat. And away. And she just galloped. She didn't trot, she galloped. And you know when you're coming down Ballysalley, you turn down to the right, you go through the shops. Suddenly your father pulled the reins and down he went that way. I thought I'd never
but
see him.
I wasn't watching where I might be.
Speech. Where'd you meet him on the road? Only there were no cars much in those days. The hedges were just flying past us like that. And he was up and he trying to, you know, see Sour this way, trying to pull her over to keep her back. Oh, she was mad.
He was telling me the other day that he reckons he shouldn't have been having his wife and child and that.
Oh no, it was very deep.
With that pony.
Oh no. Man. It was a miracle they weren't thrown out of it or something sometime. The only thing, there was no traffic on that, and you wouldn't meet cars and things like you would now. Mm. You have the road to yourself, more or less. But you'd want it to yourself, wouldn't you?
Please.
Oh,
no. Oh, yes,
maybe.
Well, sure, Robert.
He beat me and he beat Debbie.
Oh, good lad. At the time that Dad was coming up to Kilcullen, obviously Mum was there. She wasn't in Ram's Grange.
Oh, no.
Yeah, but that's...
She was back living at home then in Kilcullen.
Mm. Yeah, but that was only for a year or something before they were married, I think.
Oh, right.
So she, you know, she could still have had 2 years at home or 2 years somewhere. She was 14 and 2 years in grade 16. Then, you know, I don't know what way.
Was she 18 when she was married?
Hmm?
Was she 18 when she was married?
Was she 18?
I don't know, I'm asking you.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Good move.
Dougie's got one in.
Yeah, Dougie's one up this time.
Dish. I don't know that game at all. I used to play that.
Well, would you have often gone to Dublin, for instance, to shop?
No, never.
Never?
Never went to shop.
All your shopping would have been done in Kilkenny, would it? Or Carlow? Or Castleclover?
Oh, a little bit here and a little bit there.
Yeah.
Wouldn't do much shopping, I can tell you.
No, no. But when you would go to get, say you were going to get a new dress, would somebody make it for you, or would you
make
it yourself?
My mother used to sew a bit.
Don't talk.
Right.
You get very many of them, I can tell you.
Oh, I can imagine. Well, would your mother have knit for you as well then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She sucks for the men as well, you know. When I was down in Blackcastle, I was sent to a woman teaching piano, you know, music. So I used to go to her. But if she played her own words, she'd put her thumb down and lean on it, and she could this shot from her. Oh, green here. So anyway. My father was all that I wanted me to play in church, you see. I was 11 years of age and I played at the evening service.
Oh! 11?
Goodness. The Nunc Dimittis.
Lord, no, that was that old servant of God.
Yeah.
Well then, May Phillips, she was very musical and she used to play the morning service. And then she suffered from asthma. So she was ill this Sunday. So Mr. Duker was the minister at that time. He asked me to play. So I wasn't too happy about it as I had never done it before. But like, we were used to singing all the chants and the TD and all the rest of it. And there's one part in the TD where you play the full line across and then you have to go back half of it. He is his and he made it.
Right.
And sure, I didn't realise that, you see, and I was going up to next to me. He looked down, he was standing
right
near me. And he stepped over. Get out, she said. And then he sat and he began playing.
Was
I awkward?
Oh dear.
But he just didn't plan through his line.
That's the wonder if it turned me off forever, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's what
still looking at her. That woman you're calling here wouldn't have mattered.
Can you tell me anything about Mikey Doyle?
Oh, Mikey was himself. Right, trickster.
Now, was
very nice, really. The Doyles were very...
And many of them were in it.
Kissy, Mikey, Eggy. That's all I remember. Three. I think that's all. Kissy became a nun. She went into a convent. I think in Carlow. And then it was possibly Eggy got married. You know Mikey very... Mikey and Frank, my brother Frank, were great friends.
Oh, were they?
All great friends.
Would they have been much the same age?
Yeah, round about the same age.
Oh, no, sorry.
They got on great together.
And where did Mikey's wife come from?
Mikey's wife, I think down...
Moved it back.
Oh, no.
I can't remember what way it was, but whatever way it was, he had him in checkmate, but through four moves, but
it was just because
he switched around.
Yeah.
He and Frank used to create chats and help each other.
And would there have been ever any spiritual interest with the Dives?
No. We had never heard anything in those days either.
But she did by the time, Mum was praying for Dad.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, there was an understanding between you're a Protestant and I'm a Catholic, that's it. You didn't think you had any right to tell them anything, you know what I mean? That they had their own and that was it. Mr. Doyle, she had accused us the name of the priest at the time, and she'd be passing down the yard and I would say, "Hello, Mr. Doyle, how'd you get on?" "Oh," he'd give us down the banks again today, she said, and she'd be telling what he said, and he'd be giving out all sorts. And to the you know this Calvary scene they have in many of their chapel yards? Churchyard. And he began giving out about the state of disgrace to any parish, he said. Look at the Virgin's face, the paint peeling off, he said. She said, "A show, no, that's all," he says. "It's terrible in a big parish like this, the like of that." And there's an old man in the parish, this one, and he had subscribed to the putting up of this statue, you see.
Yeah.
And he listened for a while, and he, then he says, "Ha ha ha, Father, but you didn't know her when she was young." So that's not Father Hughes. Didn't see why he should have to pay for her twice.
Indeed.
Indeed. He used to tell Daddy a lot of stories he couldn't tell his own people, you know. Father Hughes.
Who?
And Father Hughes used to have my dad over to kill a pig for him, a different thing. He'd bring him in and give him a cup of tea and chat to him. And he'd tell him yarns about different people. And one day he was going up the hill going to come down to Kilkenny, you see. And there's a house there up on the hill, just before you come to the crossroads, the way you turn down to Milford, or come on to Kilkenny. And Dowlings lived in, but they're all called Doolan. And the mother, she was a widow at that time, and she knew that he was gone. I don't know how she knew when he went to town, but she was out on the road and he went and stopped him. "Will you give me a lift, Father, into Kilkenny?" "Oh yes," he says, "jump in there." So they're going along the road, and he told this afterwards. And he said, "Do you mind me asking, Mr. Doolan, why should you go? Why it's so special, you know, going to Kilkenny today?" "Well, to tell you the truth, Father, I want a bit of liniment for the parlour floor." She meant linoleum. Liniment. Well, they used to tell these yarns. I think I told the one before about the husband and wife were always fighting. They lived up where John lives now, or in that side building along there. And the rows were terrible. And there's no family, and he blamed her all the time, you see. Mm. So anyway, the priest came up to see them, and he told him it was a shame and disgrace that everyone said they were fighting, they'd always carry on.
Audrey,
Doon and Doris Marshdala. What's the big secret?
What?
What's the big secret? There's something on whatever it is.
Now, Auntie Annie's telling me a story.
Okay, keep going.
Yeah, what's you two up to?
Not good. Audrey, I'm going to get you back.
Hmm? What? I don't know anything about it, Gwyneth. I haven't a clue.
Uh-oh.
Don't bang the door, please. Gushy wind has hit me in the ear.
How would your dad have responded to the missions and so on that were up
just
there?
Just a minute. Auntie Annie was telling us about this couple beside him.
Yeah. So anyway, he gave them a lecture. It was a shame and disgrace and all. So then he heard that they were getting on better, so he was very pleased. He decided to stay to walk and see them. And should the man saw him coming, he was just going to resume. The priest half came to come along by the hedge, you know. And the dogs were barking, and the wife said, I wonder who's this? I'll go out and see. He said, you can be rocking the cradle till I come back. And she flew at him. She threw something at him. She shouted and she gave her all sorts. And here the priest, of course, heard this as he was coming up the yard. And he shook his head. He said, I'm very disappointed. He said, I heard you were getting on better. Now that's a disgrace to hear that was coming in. And here he saw Dom and Cat lying in front of the fire, right beside each other. Look at that, he says. Supposed to be lifelong enemies, he says. And there they are, lying together in peace. Oh, tie them together, Father, and you'll see what'll happen.
Very good.
He used to tell my daddy all these yarns. That was coming in. And here he saw Dom and Cat lying in front of the fire, right beside each other. Look at that, he says. Supposed to be lifelong enemies, he says. And there they are, lying together in peace. Oh, tie them together, Father, and you'll see what'll happen.
Very good.
He used to tell my daddy all these yarns. You couldn't imagine telling one of his own about the Virgin Mary's face being. You didn't know her when she was young.
Aye.
I was asking you there, how would your dad have responded to the missions and so on up there?
He'd be a bit sceptical, you know. He's a great Church of Ireland man, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been a choir boy here in the cathedral and all.
Go on.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
I don't know, he was a good singer. Because he must have got passed some exam and was in
scholarship.
Pocock, where Holmes is now, Pocock College. And he used to go home on a Friday evening, walk to Coolcullen, and walk back Sunday night.
Goodness.
Imagine that. And many miles of that the gate. Get out.
Lord.
Imagine. So, I never heard him sort of condemning it, but
he wouldn't have gone down to him.
No, I don't think I ever remember him going to any of the meetings. Mm.
Big difference from Uncle John's.
Yeah, there's a good few other meetings Friday night, he said. He was on the phone to them. That's a wonderful meeting there.
Mm-hmm. Check.
Do you know a clever thing we noticed? Adam and I noticed this. When we used to go to the... When we were going to the charismatic meeting, we got to know different people, and we noted that Sister Catherine, she really started the meeting, first of all, out of the hospital. And
Patricia.
And we discovered she really loved the Lord. And the next thing we heard, she was being promoted, by the way, to some place in Dublin, and she was sent off. And then Father Tom, remember he was at best, you know, there was no doubt but he was a Christian, he loved him. And he told his people, you know, about
And Nolan, he was promoted and sent to the college over in Maynooth. And then there was another lovely nun. She really was lovely. And she was sent down and made head of a convent down in Limerick. See, it was all by promotion, which looked a good thing, but was getting rid of them. One night, Tom was speaking in Kilkenny, and he stood up and looked all around and said, "You know," he said, "people think the dead are all in the graveyards. They're not, you know." And he said, "Stop, people are startled like this, you know." He says, "They're walking our streets. Some of them are in our homes and in our churches, dead towards God." Then he went on to describe what it's like to be alive towards God. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ into our hearts and our lives. But we got our attention. But the jump they gave it, he said, "They're not, you know, they're walking our streets."
Ghosts.
Yeah.
What is it like?
Oh, will you tell me one other thing that I never heard anything about? And that is Uncle John meeting Auntie Betty and how that all came about.
Now, that won't be hard for me to say, because I don't really remember, but I think he was down at a conference or something in Cork, it must have been. But she wasn't up this way before that.
Right.
How do you have it?
Yeah. So he must have gone down, you think?
He must have, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I don't think he could have met her anywhere else.
Right.
So it was a good decision.
Oh yeah, I'd say all in all.
I was lonely. There on the
phone. Aye.
I know what you do without Sophie.
Aye.
She's great. Well, she's very busy.
Yeah.
Why, that college rubs it in.
Really?
Yeah, keep piling it on. But they don't increase your salary. It's been for, what do you call it in the morning? What do you call it?
Assembly.
Yeah. And then, that was all at first. And then she was told, like, to teach scripture, and then she was asked one day to take some mathematics, and, you know. Have you had her in your class?
Yeah, well, I've had her for maths, because my maths teacher was out.
How do we get out there?
Walk with four legs.
He never goes around there, does he?
We're out here.
How does Tom do? What's the big idea? Silence. It must be a ghost.
Enjoy it while it lasts, Auntie Annie.
No,
oh, it's gone now.
I don't think it has done that one, though.
What about that fire? Come back, Auntie Annie.
Yes, I jumped back.
No, to this woman. She told me that the last time she was down in Carlow, she stayed in Gillespie's.
Why?
Well, now, does that mean that there's a tie-up thing?
Yeah, I think so. There were cousins called Gillespie. Right?
So your cousins were Gillespie?
Yeah.
But you don't know?
I suppose their mother must have been in Suffolk too, for all I know. I don't really know. So I was telling Ian Wilson one morning, I was from outside church, we were talking, and I said, so now your auntie Jessie and your aunt Elsie, and your aunt, and Peggy's his mother, your mother, they used to come over to the Brow, you know, holiday time. And their two brothers, John and Alec Pearson, and my two brothers, and we were playing handball against the end wall of a And for the first time, we were getting on, we were ahead of them by a few goals, or whatever they called them. And with this, my mother came outside the door and said, "Annie, come in here at once and learn your adverbs." So I told her those adverbs, never learned so quick. In a few minutes, I said, "I can say them now." "Well, I know them now," I said. "Well, say them," she said. "Any, all, few, some, several, one, other, another, and none." I said, "Oh, go back and finish your game," she said. And in the middle of the men, the handballs come in to learn matters. I said, "I learned quick, all right. I wouldn't have minded if we were losing. It would have been a great relief."
Yeah.
But we were winning for once. It just comes.
Well, did she teach you?
Oh, not really. She did teach at the beginning, but when the family got bigger, she had to stay at home. She took your mum up the hill when she was only two, because she had to do relief. Some other teacher was sick. 2 years of age, she walked her up that Coon Hill.
To where, though?
To the Coolgallon School, the old school.
Oh, my goodness.
That's where she taught.
Well, I was looking at that picture of Mum and Dad's wedding.
Yeah.
And there was Grandad and Granny Harper, and there was Grandad and Granny Shirley.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at it, and I said, Granny looked young enough, in it, your mum.
Yeah.
Now, she came down to teach in what school? In Kilcullen?
Yes. Kilcullen.
And where did she get married?
I presume she got married there.
Well, why would she not go home to her own place?
Way up in Lisburn.
Yeah.
I don't think probably Daddy wouldn't have gone that far, I don't know. Never
did
told
her,
me.
Did her people come down?
Couldn't tell, I never heard. I don't think so.
But she must have been a very brave lass to come down and...
She was.
...settle in a
strange land.
Let me tell you, she knew her own mind, and you couldn't tell her what to do or not to do.
Was she strong-willed?
Who? Tell you what.
Do you take after her, Auntie Annie?
I don't. Not for the timber out of heaven, anyway. That's the boss.
That would have been.
Glad to hear it. Keeps us working.
Oh, we're still a dull and ish.
Okay.
Sure. 5 to 3. You're supposed to meet David at 3, weren't you?
Yes, please.
I'm not meeting him.
Well, Daddy. Does he know where to go? And there was a Jim Kelly that lived down the end of the Brow Lane, and he had names for everything. And there was where they had cut a drain right across the front of my meadows, the big longish field at the back of the house, uphill, you know, it's not heavy field. And he called that the main road to Ballston. He had names for everything.
He was Kelly. He was further down the lane.
Yeah.
Now, how many houses were down the lane?
3. With Doyle's, Kelly's, and Rice's.
Oh, I didn't know.
Rice's
that.
Went for good nearly got under McCartney's
hill. Down
in McCartney's hill.
Down
past John's Lane.
Up to the post office. Down John. Up to John's Lane. Down below John's Lane.
Aye.
On the Williams there. To the lane where you go down all the way back around.
The steep hill, I fell off, I was knocked unconscious on a lane on the road down, came out from Kilcullen and went down the hill with Ivan one time.
Oh, that was down Coon.
No.
To the river, was it?
Came out Uncle John's Lane and
turned
John's right.
Lane. Oh, well, then you were
right,
down to Coolraheen.
That's Willoughby's Lane on your right hand side.
The first house.
Yeah.
And then you're saying there's another lane where
there's
below
a
that.
There's under that, just below Williams.
But in there, well that's
going right.
We're
falling out. Across under Ravens, under Trevor's Farm.
Right. And did it join up with the other
lane?
No, I don't
lane.
Know, did it join up with it?
You could go across, like. I don't think the lane actually...
No, it didn't join.
No, but
I
the
remember
people
going
went across
there. To trash or races.
Aye.
But I never did back right now. you had to go off the lane, you know, and down 100 feet or 200 feet down the open field.
So there was Rice's, Doyle's, and...
No, Rice's, Kelly's, Doyle's.
Rice's.
The nearest to us.
And how many of those still live in there?
I don't know the name. I don't think so.
The man that bought...
I think Rice's could be there still.
The man that bought David's, did he?
Kelly's the trader, they're one of the traders. They could be...
But the man that bought David's, did he buy any of the other?
No, I don't think so.
When the Doyles moved out.
Who took Doyles? David's. But they took some Doyles. But David took some, we made a swap with Doyles.
He lived near their house, you mean?
No, the whole thing. Doyles moved out. David took that. With some swap with the lad down in Coon.
We had some land over in Coon, near Coon and Parkwood.
Right.
And Jim Duckett at work.
Well, good land over there. Couple of good fields. The bad swap in our head.
Yeah.
But he did go to them now at all.
Then didn't say it all at all.
Indeed.
Well, go back and tell me about the brow. Because I don't remember anything about the water wheel or any of those things. No.
I was just saying to myself the other day, I was just thinking about it, that probably if it had been reported, they would have had to keep it. Like some things that won't allow you taken away because they're historic or they're...
I don't think they would have.
There are some places now that wouldn't let you
change. I'd have been different things to be big because it was only a sort of a tunnel through under the house. The water wheel was sitting in. There was a tank in the garden.
What was the big pond?
Yeah, well, twice. We did this twice as little.
Oh, you found one,
man. It was 7 or 8 feet deep.
Yeah. I often wondered, Robert, how none of us fell in and got drowned. We used to run and play and take along a little path along by the edge of that big pond. I wanted to trip in your ring.
You never swam in it?
No.
That would be big.
No, because there's mud in the bottom.
What a wonderful big. I thought it was in. It was a bit of grind.
6 feet deep, anyway.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. What part was in?
And what supplied that?
My great-grandfather, had brought the... You know, different drains up the hills. He steered them all into one biggish one and came down into the pond.
So there's a spring in the fine metal that David used to water the house.
Right.
You have to look the fine metal to buy it. He hired in the house.
Right.
Yeah.
He knows that. He bought that supply to pond in all the days.
Did. And you see, there was a sluice. At the end of the thing, when you wanted to start the, either that you could crush oats, you know, with the machine, or when you wanted to churn, you went up and you pushed this thing and put in this block behind it, and the water began coming out. You know, it was only flowed into this little thing, what do you call it, little
channel?
And then they came down the drain. They had a fairly wide drain then coming down from that. And it went into then it went into a little square hole.
Box chute.
A box chute. And a wooden thing. And that lifted up. And then the water came in under and fit into the pockets of the wheel. And it began turning.
Which means that so when the water came in,
filled the containers.
Yeah, and then they began to turn, and then turn the churn, or whatever you want to
do.
It's a crush oats and so on.
We have to crush it. I think John Torbett had paid £5 for it.
£5?
So Well, now, what I'm... We'll deal with the churn. You're saying when you wanted to churn, you used the wheel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What did Mum use in animal when she wanted to churn milk?
Her hand.
Her hand, just churn it by hand.
And why didn't she churn by hand?
Another was there.
The wheel was there when she started. The crystal was there to grind. It was very modern.
It was great.
It was very up to date in those days, you know, it was a serious.
I remember breaking 40 pounds of butter at one go.
Then the water that runs from that was pushed out.
You hear this, Colin?
What?
Listen to this.
The waste water then that runs from the wheel was pushed out.
Right.
Down in the yard, they had this big crow's nest set up on the today.
Yeah, there were two or three steps up and down.
To toilet.
And it went away down to the river then, the base. Washed away.
Very up to date.
Oh, very up to date. I mean, very modern up to date.
No wonder Granny Shirley cried when Mum was coming to the backwoods of animals.
Yeah.
And at the end of this garden or field or this...
A fine meadow?
No. The back of the hay barn up, they had, her grandfather had trees grafted.
Oh, I become that
trees grown over crafts.
Three or four varieties.
Three or four varieties grown on the one craft.
He had six varieties on one tree.
Your grandfather?
Yeah, he
was a genius.
There's one apple called Wannisford, Captain Pryor Wannisford. His mother used to come out to our place. And Daddy probably was in Comer, probably called it. Anyway, he got a little cut, and Grandpa set it into this tree. And we used the apples called Wallisburg apples, and somebody else's apples. And all on the one tree, all different apples.
Had you no scalp, no?
No.
What was your grandfather's name?
Frank. Francis.
All right.
Francis Shirley.
Yeah.
And your grandmother?
I don't know what agenda, I'm not sure.
Do you remember that her?
No, I never saw her.
Oh, did you know?
No.
Did you see your grandfather?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. He lived to me. I was away in school in Dublin.
He did all the garden, every vegetable in the garden.
He'd have one bed of leeks, another one of onions, another one of lettuce, another one of something. He never mixed them. And then he had flowers of every kind. Roses and
peppers, rabbits.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's coming out in Dubby now, these peppers.
Sure, but take the touch of it might be coming out in this generation.
I mean, the wild birds are on the pits, you feed all the rabbits.
Yeah.
It's a great place, Dad.
So, you're saying that your granny died young, did she then? If your granddad lived on.
I don't ever remember her.
Linda had a spout for supplying the house with her.
Yeah, the other end of the house.
The other end of the house is this pipe going out of the wall.
It was under the garden. Going down under the garden.
Continuously flowing all the time into a big trough out of the wall. Cool and washing.
Yeah.
Why
isn't
that brilliant?
For washing. The one with the wheel. Well,
did your grandfather used to go down and strip to the waist?
Yeah.
Standing under the wheel and if the water down on top.
Let's use
it. In the morning.
Oh. I'm full
shot. I tell
you what.
I'm wondering if it should be 80-something.
80-something?
I think so.
Goodness. And what did your father live to?
I don't really remember now.
He was a good bit older than Granny Shirley, was he?
Maybe a couple of years anyway, I'd say. Maybe more.
Looking at the picture that I'm telling you about, it would seem as though he was quite a bit older than Granny.
He probably was. We were never told,
I know, but have you any idea when he died, or what age he was when he died?
No.
John would probably know. Probably it's on the tombstone.
Yeah.
He died suddenly.
Mm. And you were away in school at the time?
No, I was in Kilkenny at the time. Frank was with me when we got the word. And Frank burst out crying, said, "Ah, the poor man."
Is this your dad? When your dad died?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it a heart attack at the end? Do you know?
I don't know if there was any inquest, and I don't think so.
Yeah.
And he died at home.
Hmm.
And how long did Granny Shirley live on there then?
That's what I don't know, but you see,
she saw it on the gravestone, Robert. You saw it on the gravestone last year at Auntie Betty's funeral. We were working out.
The year that Grandad died?
Yeah, and he was, I think he was a good bit older
than
your mum.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Granny lived on then in the brow by herself for a while,
for
didn't
a while.
She?
Then she went
not for
to
too
Frank.
Long,
I think. Not too long, she went down to Frank and draw water then, you see.
She did, and then she came on to live with us.
Yeah.
Well, you've told me then about Uncle John feeding and you milking. What about the younger two?
Oh, well, I think they were too young at that time, right?
Tilly.
I don't remember Tilly doing much milking.
Tilly was so fond of the work, she didn't want to say. You had to dodge it somewhere or another. You had to do that.
I was the oldest, they say.
But Annie do. Till you play with cats and dogs and things. A bit like Edna.
Is that right?
Yeah. She amused herself for ages with a cat or a dog or a doll. Or any of the rather than you know, a couple of toilets and John.
But you wouldn't have known any of that at that stage.
No. Oh, no.
That's only hearsay.
Never
heard. Well, I was only
a garzoon.
Oh, you were heard of all right, sure. You and Mum would have been much of an age, wouldn't you?
But near this.
Yeah.
Remember your father bringing me up to cook good morning. First time I was ever in the place.
Goodness.
And he went up to see to so I was talking to Frank and Nina all the other way. So then I had to go home that night. Open up the lane and try for me to be going on. So I kept going on and on. They were right at the top of the hill up here and directly gave up my lot on the way to 2 miles along the road. And I didn't know. Didn't hardly know my way home. I said, "I'm going this road." This is the road I came. But it's gone dark, you know. It's dark.
Is it late?
And when I come to the top of Ballasana, I say, "Where am I?" And then I could see the brightness of the town.
Yeah.
I say, heading for Kilkenny anyway. And instead of turning down, going straight down Ballasana, I turned down.
John's
Way.
Yeah.
And Tom has lost all the other.
Yeah.
See these big trees and high ditches. So I keep going towards that light anyway, and you're right home. When I came home, it was the next morning, her father had me.
For going off
on me, he thought I was lost.
Yeah.
He never overtook me anymore. Gone like the wind. I had to do Gooseberry for Bob too.
Had you?
I had to fancy my dad.
My sister.
So there was no good relation between Bob and Pansy's or Sidney's father. He didn't want that at all.
No.
Right. Farmer.
Oh, is he?
No, that was Benita. And he put his foot down and kept on. So she and Pansy then was going for a ride up to go on road. He looked up from Gorn and Bob and me took me off.
Fancy.
I think we came down to campus going that day. the herb officer who has the name of Dr.
Minus the cords.
And they'd have cycled from Gorn.
He was getting all organized, Auntie Annie.
It was all the training.
All training.
All the training. Just those hoops.
There you go now.
Poor thing. Poor thing, isn't it?
It's great when you look back on the history of the
Yeah.
I want to take it back and tell me about going to school.
Oh no. Hurry up and get the cow's milk and come in and have their breakfast and watch yourself and get off to school.
And you wouldn't have milked all by yourself, would you?
No, I don't. No, John Daddy would come up and after a while lead him in.
John would
be done. John would be. He did the better father and daughter to get to milk the cow or two.
How many were you milking?
Well, the top house was 8, and I think there were 5 or 6 down the lower top house. Perhaps I remember those were once like calves or something. We didn't have to put on there to me.
In those days, people were well off in their own way. Their overheads were very low compared to now.
Yeah.
And we're talking millions though, or that kind of talking favours. Yeah, 500 million now.
Yeah.
Money was scarce and they grew oil. Sure.
I think you only got 6 months.
Was it Salmon Grove? Was it Salmon Grove said, just to see, there was a time, he said, in New York, you know, when we were all young.
Mm.
And there was nothing ever bought from town, only tea and sugar. And
flour.
A bit of beef or something. And if my father had his way, he'd kill an old cow. Putting the bread soft. That's it. That's the way back to New York.
Oh, we know.
That's what I did. But that's what Sam said, you know, the cost of running a house now compared to then.
And we used to send a bag of oats down to a milk farm, that's Phillips's. And
where Charlie Phillips used to live down, I know, down near the Butts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you'd bring it home and just put it in a big bin and make thin head porridge. Wow. Every night that big pot of that made.
My father too would bring in 4 or 5 bags of wheat to wedge the miller. We grind that into all of it and stack it upstairs in your orchard.
Welsh the miller, is that the present Welsh?
No. The Greensbridge here.
Yeah.
The horse was at one side, the Welsh was at this side.
Right.
Mm.
And you must have sold a fair bit of milk around then, if you were milking 6 or 8 cows.
No, at that time we didn't sell it at all. We made butter up and sold the butter.
And fed the milk to the cows, the skim milk.
Yeah. But then when the dreamery came to Coon, we got a churn and sent off there then. So
goodness.
It was a big change.
But would you have, you'd have sold some milk to the neighbours around?
No, because they all had cows. Anyone near us would have their own.
But should there be labouring folks that wouldn't have had cows?
No, well, they never got any from us.
Like, we used to sell milk at home to the neighbours.
Mm.
And the work we used to do to feed a few pigs, the little house up the lane, to put all the potatoes in there. And Mrs. Shirley would have to go up with buckets, bring down the potatoes, sort them maybe if they weren't sorted, bring down all the small potatoes, wash them under the spout, bring them into the kitchen, put them into this big boiler, and boil them, and mix meal thrown down for the pigs, so they were feeding the pigs.
Imagine boiling potatoes.
But that would be a pot on an open fire with
that's what we had.
With hooks and all.
Yeah, a great big pot. You got that rounded, suppose.
Great big. It was great to call them balls.
To hold.
That was the slack and the yellow clay.
Yeah.
Used to make
grandfather used to sit making it
Your grandfather?
Yeah.
And when they made those, they put them beside the fire to dry them out.
Yeah.
And the fire in the morning, the fire became slack down at night, and you come down in the morning, John and I, whichever stoppers, they could open and take out all the ashes of them.
Christmas Eve.
And there'd be a few dry sticks and put them on.
Christmas Eve night, John put his foot on the column bars, put a big mark in his foot.
When I said you were getting a bit ahead of the story.
To tell Frank.
There was a Mrs. Comfort. Mary Comfort used to do a few jobs for Mammy. She lived up the lane a bit. And she was talking to us kids, you know. And she said, you know, there's no such thing as Santa Claus. Oh, there is, we said. And he comes down the chimney there. Oh, no, she says, your father and mother will buy the things for you. So
this would have been somebody that was your contemporary, your age.
No, no, she would have been older.
Right.
She, like, worked for my mother.
All right.
Sometimes. And so we were full of this, and sure, Frank heard about it, and John said, don't mind her. He says, of course, Father Christmas comes down the chimney. And when Frank was going off to bed, John got Daddy's big boot, and he put it facing this way.
Yeah.
Out this way.
Yeah.
On a fresh pile of these balls, coloured balls that was made that day, to have for Christmas, you know. And here was this big foot mark on top of the coloured balls. And when we get on the morning, all the excitement. Now, Sir John, look at him. Do you see, there's Father Christmas' footprint. And he firmly believed it. Now, we can see that to this day.
Isn't that great?
The big footprint.
Although his own son, David, didn't appreciate being told about Father Christmas, because when he found out, he was very disappointed.
I think Frank was too.
Bye.
Because it's working cold.
No.
What you didn't do, Jonathan put column balls and oranges in the bottom of the glass.
Oh, yeah. The stock, we put column balls in the very bottom of the socks and then an orange on top of that. Frank got go down and he was, took out the orange. Well, there's more, and you're doing like this to the sock tree. He made smush of the column ball in. He's a column he had at the bottom of his sock. Oh, we were terrorists.
But then Frank was getting interested in Mayor Rowe. She was open the rectory.
The rectory is where the horsey man is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this night, John and Frank and Mayor Rowe were at Ostiner Hall, John and Frank. And John knew Frank was a bit interested. But when they went out through the gate, Frank went into the house there beside the gate. And he wanted to clear himself. John went over and pulled the door shut and put a stick across it. And they were both at the rectory before Frank got out and took it. John's awful tricks.
By the way, that there's a little bit of a parallel there, beloved, with your own father and Deacon down in down in Wexford.
Pushed the bridge in between the two.
Yeah. So, where was school?
Just not too far from the church.
School is there, the old school.
The old school is still there.
School.
No, I don't know.
I was half between the shop and the rectory gate. Left hand side going down.
So it's after the post office?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the left hand side.
On the same side as the rectory?
Yeah.
It's between the rectory and the shop.
Just within 200 yards of the rectory gate, or 100 yards of the rectory gate.
Right. And is that the school that Granny Shirley came,
yes,
Granny came from the north,
yeah, yeah,
to teach him?
Yeah.
And how did she know about it?
I don't know.
Well, see,
about.
She trained in Dublin.
She trained in Dublin.
Oh, did she?
Oh, yeah.
She was sent there, that was.
Yeah.
See, the new school they built since that was way down on the end of the Protestant road.
Yeah, down on the butt side.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So kids from that end could come to it as well, they say. From, yeah.
Well, whereabouts would she, have trained in Dublin?
Easy enough. Like, I never knew she trained in Dublin. Like, if she came down to Dublin to train, like, it would be easy enough to think that she could come to.
Yeah.
Could come.
That was our first place.
And last.
And last.
And was it a one teacher school?
Yeah. At that time. There weren't so many.
The big guys like the Bradleys nowadays go to school. Francis and Richard.
Francis and Richard.
Bigger than the teacher.
And she taught you then for a while, did she?
Mm.
But did you say that she dropped out before she, before, when she wouldn't have taught mum, would she?
No, but she knows she, well, she, when your mum was very young, I suppose she was only 2 when she was bringing her up the hill. But she wouldn't have been.
But that was only relief teaching yourself.
I think that was probably it. I couldn't really remember that far back. But John might remember that. She had a Biddy Pierce working for her when she was teaching, and when she came in she said, well, what have you for my dinner today, Biddy? Indians and fried meat, ma'am. That was the same every day. So I don't know, she eventually got her away and got someone else as well. She got tired of the Indians and fried meat. That'd be bacon, home cured bacon, be very salty stuff.
And she was married to Larry Pierce. And Larry fought out with the priest, he'd bring the children to the Protestant school, and then he followed with the clergyman, he'd bring them to the Catholic school.
My he goodness.
The children as a kind of, you know. Well, he was a boy at the same time. He'd been in the war. And he used to tell great yarns about him. And whatever kind of, I don't know what, but they could push pins into this muscle here and he would mind a bit, couldn't feel it.
He took more salmon over the river around Cornwall.
Why is it not being called our place now? We want a bit of fish.
A bit of fish, salted down.
Because it was forbidden to take them into, what do you call the season?
Close season.
Right. I don't even worry about the closeness.
Aye.
Them there.
And how many years did you do in that school?
I was thinking on
it wasn't very near to you enough to say.
Well, no, because I was sent, asked to go down and stay with the Black Ashmores of Black Castle.
I was
only about 12 then. And I was going to the Eck and Carlo. Billy Ashmore.
And how did you get from home to Carlo?
Stayed there in Ashmore.
Come in on a bite.
Where was Ashmore's?
About 3 miles out from.
Out to
the Athy Road, you go first and then turn right a bit.
Oh, see.
Billy and Joe Ashmore.
That'd be out past the sugar factory.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could often saw Billy and Joe on the market there a few years ago, by
Often heard of him, all right.
Joe's dead, and I think Billy died on the lake, and that's a long
time. Yes, I heard Billy died.
That's so much.
Their mother would have been a second cousin of Daddy's. She'd been a Shirley. She'd been a Rube or something.
What relation would John Shirley be? The lad went to the farm with Shirley.
Be distant cousin. His father would have been Jim Charlie from Lock, and he is here.
Then those stories of Flo Water.
Oh?
Okay, yeah. More. That's where Frank went. You see, the farm was given to Frank.
Yeah, oh, I see. So he actually inherited a Shirley farm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see.
Jim Shirley.
Well, I could ask you.
One of the Shirley of over 40 inquiries.
Bob Shirley.
Bob Shirley. I think, was it Frank or Jim was in?
Jim was in Tullamore. Frank was in the.
That would lead me on to asking you a whole lot of questions. How did Uncle Frank get land in Bourne, and how did he get Ballinabrana and all this sort of thing?
He bought Ballinabrana and he bought Gorn and he got Shirley's then.
And he bought Ogles, wasn't it?
He bought Ogles from that.
I see.
Mm. And he went down there. Frank Owen said, I knew not about sheep, I would not a head from one.
He knew a lot about him before he was finished.
And he would not know what he says. All they could do is just play ignorant and play wise. Keep me mouth shut and listen a lot. And the farmers around. And I'd be listening to them talk. And that's all I learned. That's the way I learned it. He says, I said nothing, but listened.
Advice.
I know he had some dry said, but other times he said, if you're ever in a hurry, he says, let it be in the kitchen. Or you're going to Germany. Not be tearing along the road. Was the wise one too, didn't he?
Your mum and dad were noted for that.
What?
Tearing along the road.
Were they?
Yeah.
Don't find the tears.
They were going off to, and I heard this, they were going one time, the granny in the car with them, and they offended it anyway. And to bring her back home, and I happened to be there at the time.
Brought into Kilwater, right? We were there. Right there. In, and granny's hair on full of glass. Left to open the door. Halfway between Gorn and Boris. Gorn's Bridge and Boris. They offended her another time outside the rectory on the Gordon Road. Just at the rectory, going to Boston. From Bennett's Bridge to Boston.
Bennett's Bridge to Boston, where was the rectory?
From Bennett's Bridge to Gordon.
Yeah, where was the rectory?
There's a rectory there, just before you go into Gordon.
Oh, I know the building.
The hill.
Yeah.
Somewhere that hill was taken a bit on the windy side.
Oh.
Hit the ditch a little bit.
Goodness me.
We opposite the shortened our life a lot of bit.
Well, she lived to what, 87, was she?
She was, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
She lived a good old life after.
She was a hardy woman.
Well, she was a hardy woman.
She was. Stick to her. Rough treatment.
Oh, this is good. I'm delighted to hear all this. I really am. Well, now, Uncle John was how much behind you?
2 years.
So, you got to 12 and you went to
Blackcastle.
You went to Blackcastle and you went to the tech in
Carlow.
What did Uncle John do?
Well, he was still going to school.
After school he was going.
He never did anything in the tech or secondary school?
No.
And Frank did less. He left school before he should have. He knew more than any.
Do you know what? Philip, did you hear this one? Francie Bradley and Frank Shirley hated the Irish, and we just took it for granted, like, but they couldn't bear it at all. And the new teacher had come to the school, a Miss Boyd, straight from the training college, and she had black eyebrows, and they nearly met her in the middle, and she was very fierce looking. And these two lads saw that she was going to be hard on them with the Irish, you see. So they struggled for a while, then they told us all out in the playground that they were going to do something about it. And they said, they were always doing something, getting called up to be slapped. So they said, the next time we're going up to get slapped, we're going to spit in her hand and hold it out. And when she hits her hand, she'll splat up on her face. So we were all here this day, they were both called up to be slapped. And we were watching them, and she was standing up and she had the cane ready enough. Here we saw the lads, like this, you see. Hold out your hand. Hold out your hand. What's that disgusting? Go out and wash it, your boys. So they were going to the
toilet. Oh, she then got slapped.
Yeah, and then they got the right slap. But the hands were wet, you know. Did you ever have a light? Like, how did it not splash up in her face? We were all watching like this. We were waiting for the splash up to come.
So you were in school with Uncle Frank?
Yeah.
Therefore, if you were 12, Uncle John was 10, we'll just say back down and on. If you were 12, Uncle John was 10, Mum would have been
eight.
Uncle Frank would have been
six.
So if you were in school with Uncle Frank and he getting smacked.
Ah, but he was older than that would have been. Must have been a bit older than that.
But you wouldn't have been in national school after 12.
Wouldn't have been gone.
That's right.
If you remember seeing that, he was only six when he was doing it.
And the Bradleys, well, the Bradleys used to come with big slices of brown bread and frock and jam.
Yeah.
They were the frock.
Yeah, yeah.
And to be all gone through with and the bread would be put.
Yeah. And I remember from the home and telling
no
Mammy,
no butter.
I don't know what the Bradleys are eating today. What? Bread was all kind of bluey black colour. Terrible looking stuff. Oh, she says, I know what. Rotten jam out. And it's soaked into the soda bread, you know.
Soaked.
And it's a kind of a bluey colour. We didn't know what other boys in the ring. There was no butter under it, you know, just the jam.
Well, what would you have had in your lunch going to school?
Oh, just...
It'd have had butter in it, eh?
Yeah, homemade bread and homemade butter.
And would you have had anything else on the bread, or just butter?
Nothing, mostly butter. Jam would be kind of mush, you know. And sometimes I might put a bit of raspberry jam on.
Well, would you ever have made cheese?
No.
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 Which is terrible up to date with the water wheel. You know, it's only a bit of mechanization, you'd see. I mean, miles and miles of the place.
Yeah.
It was my grandfather's father had done all that.
Oh?
Yes, because he brought the water like down to the pond.
So it was your great grandfather.
Yeah.
And that was...
As far as I know it was.
That was, like, what's a generation count? About
25 years, is it?
25 or 30 years.
Uh-huh.
So you're talking of your great grandfather.
90 years ahead of him. Or that young. 90 years before.
Yeah,
that would
be here.
Amazing.
90 years before you were born, thereabouts.
Mm.
You're right.
Lovely.
Could
just imagine the planning that went into that.
I know, yeah.
And all speed.
Yeah.
No tractors or no.
No diggers.
Diggers or drills or anything like that.
So when you, how long did you spend in the tech in Carlow?
Years was that quite too? Because my auntie Sue, Mrs. Ashmont, I lived with. She, I remember I was at home and she wrote and said about this school in Dublin, Kenmare College, and they thought she thought that they should send me there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where I ended up then.
And what age were you when you went there, do you think?
About 115,
I think. Right. And how long did you do in Kenmare College?
I got a good education.
But didn't I do the intro?
Yes.
Yeah. Examiner,
they called it
the
intermediate.
Are you supposed to do it? No. The right way. Left it.
And how many years do you think you did in Dublin? And where did you stay? Sorry, no, tell me that.
Hmm?
How many years do you think you did?
I think you did about three.
And where did you stay?
In the college.
Oh, they had
a yes. We had dorms.
Oh, was it girls only school?
Only girls, yeah. And the Mountjoy school was only down the road a bit.
Right.
In fact, when we'd be in the front room doing things, we'd see the lads passing by. It's just some of the girls, oh, look at that mattress. Oh, I wonder what they are. And here they'd be like this, and I'd have to rock. And here didn't I happen to see one I knew, Alec Wilson.
Lexi Wilson's dad.
Yeah. And I said, oh, I know him. Oh, he's lovely, but he's lovely fair. Oh, could you get him? Could you talk to him and tell him I want to write to him or something like this? I didn't know him to speak to at all. I just knew him to see.
And he was in Mountjoy.
Yeah.
Hello. And did you play games or anything in the school?
Where did we go walk about 2 miles to the hockey field?
Yeah. And did you play hockey?
Yeah.
Where did you play? What position?
Oh, full back.
Was it?
Just more balls in than I stopped out.
Because Sharon loves the hockey.
Does she?
Yeah. And she plays up in the forwards.
Oh, really? And she's had her own son.
And Uncle Frank, then, you say, he left school earlier even than Uncle John?
I think so, yeah.
And why did you and Mum get education and the boys?
Oh, the boys were farmers.
They didn't need it.
They didn't need it. Who's coming now?
You're stranded.
Yeah.
Why?
And
the car just got stuck.
What? Where?
In the barn. In the field.
In a field.